Welcome back to WBOI Presents. I'm Ben Clemmer, and it's great to be with you. Our next tale comes from a third storyteller at the Trapdoors March Showcase. It was Adam Brooks' first time telling a story on the Trapdoor stage, and he was introduced by Ben Larson. Thank you for listening.
Our next storyteller is brand new to the Trapdoor stage. I wanted to give a little bit of a story as a... As the thing that that we read in his pitch, and it immediately made us go, "Oh, I want to hear this story." But I don't want to steal that moment away from him because it's pretty good. I'll just say he sent us a really his pitch really caught our attention, and then we sat down in workshop with him, and his story is the most wonderful blend of heartwarming and heartbreaking, yeah, in that really good way. And he's the reason we're always so excited to be bringing new people up here to the stage to share stories. We really love his story. We think you will too. So please welcome to the stage, Trapdoor newcomer, Mr. Adam Brooks.
Hi, everybody. Happy Pie Day. Anybody have pie today? I didn't. I had pizza. A pizza pie. All right. So, I was sitting in my Spanish 1 class the first day of my freshman year at a brand new school. And I was just kind of silently sizing up the room because I didn't know anybody. And the girl in front of me shot around, and she had this look of pure joy in her eyes. And with a smirk, she said to me, "Hi. I've seen you naked." And I was a really shy kid, so girls didn't talk to me, and I certainly didn't talk to them. I just kind of froze. I had no idea how to respond. I'm just going to say it's a safe assumption to say that it's a universal truth of all heterosexual 14-year-old boys that when a pretty girl turns to say something to you, you kind of hope it's something about your dick. And so it was. But she introduced herself as Jenny. And I knew immediately at that point who she was because our dads had grown up together and they were best friends in high school. And when she said she'd seen me naked, she was talking about the times when her mom babysat for me when we were both kids and we'd probably taken baths together. So it was kind of about my dick, I guess. But I knew she'd be around at this new school, though, because I had met her boyfriend, who was a senior on the cross-country team, and he'd kind of taken me under his wing, and he told me her name, which I remembered, but I had no idea what she looked like because I hadn't seen her since I was 4 or 5 years old, and now I knew. But I think because of that hell of an introduction and our past, and we had a mutual friend group, we just became really close friends. Like, it was fast, and it was close, and it was really good, but I think it might have been a little too close because at one point, my girlfriend said to me, "You have to choose me or her." And I didn't have that girlfriend very much longer. So yeah, we were really good friends. And then the winter of our sophomore year, just kind of on a whim, her parents decided they were going to move to Montana. I think they had watched A River Runs Through It or something. But they didn't know anyone out. For real. They didn't know anyone. They had no friends or family out there. They were just like, "That looks cool." So they put their house on the market, and it sold in a week. And she was gone in a month, and I was down a friend. But over the next couple years, we kept in touch on the phone, and I think it was during that time that we realized that we had more than just a friendship. There was something more than that between us, but there was also thousands of miles between us. So there was nothing we could realistically do about it. And then what was the fall of my senior year, her family and her, they came back. We were in Ohio at the time, and they came back for a visit, and her parents and sister went home, and she stayed and lived with her aunt. So it only took a few weeks before we were dating. We were together every day before that, but we were dating a couple weeks later. And I remember one night I was dropping her back off at her aunt's house, and she asked me, "What took you so long to ask me out?" And I was honest with her. I just said, "You know, I don't know how I knew this, but I just had this sense that if we started dating, you'd be the last person I'm ever with. And I'm only 18 and still in high school. I don't know if I'm ready to do that. I have things I need to get done and want to do, but you guys, that spark of joy that was in her eye that day in Spanish class, that never went away. That wasn't just because she had something funny to say to me. It was because that's who she is, and it's still there today. And so it drew me in, and I couldn't fight it. And so I guess you could say things were going pretty well. And by Christmas time, we were engaged, which is crazy because we were still in high school. And I guess much to the dismay of my family, most of my family, but we were young and in love, and you couldn't tell us any different. We didn't know any different. And then I think it was around the end of January, the situation at her aunt's house changed, and she couldn't stay there anymore. There wasn't anywhere else for her to go, and she had to go back to Montana with her family, which was devastating for both of us. I don't think at that point in my life I'd been through anything that hard. And so there was 5 months there where I'm not sure if either one of us really believed that our relationship would survive that distance again. But I graduated in May, and then a week later, I was on a train headed west. And I lived with her family and her for 9 months, and we worked, and we saved as much money as we could, and in March the next year, we planned a small wedding, and we got married. And we only needed a small wedding because we loved each other, and that's all we needed. That's all we cared about. Our family was there. A few of our friends from out west were there, and life was good. And in lieu of a traditional honeymoon, we'd been planning to drive back to Ohio anyways to start our lives together because everything we knew was there. We weren't going to stay in Montana. So we decided, well, we'll just make the drive home our honeymoon. We'll take our time, and we'll stop and see the things there are to see and do the things there are to do. And we did, but it was far from idyllic. We had some weather-related issues where we had to stay extra nights. But I think the pinnacle of that whole trip was in Minnesota when our car broke down. And the mechanic told us, it's going to take a week for me to get the parts I need to fix your car to get you back on the road. And we didn't have the money to stay there for a week, let alone to pay for the parts and labor that it was going to take to fix the car. So instead, he had a small car lot out front of his shop there. And he sold us the 1989 Chevy Caprice. We signed the paperwork and we loaded that boat up and we drove back to Ohio. It got us there, and we had that car for 2 years afterward. It did us good. So we started our lives in Ohio. And the first few years, you guys, the first few years were so hard. We were just out of high school. We didn't have experience really working. We didn't have any education, hardly any skills, you know. So we were working our asses off, and we were poor as fuck. But we had each other. And then most of our friends had moved away to go to college, and the ones who stayed behind were in the same boat as us. They were working just to keep their heads above water. So we were kind of isolated and lonely, but, you know, we were in love. And then on top of all that, it had come out that the same mother had sexually abused Jenny, my sister, and like four other girls while they were somewhere between the ages of like 12 and 16, I think. So there was an investigation and a trial and all the emotional fallout that comes out with that kind of thing. And that has been looming in our marriage for the last 16 years. And it's been a thing. But those first few years, you know, we leaned on each other so much and we held on to each other because we were what each other had and we were so in love and we helped each other and we brought each other up out of the pits that we'd get into, and you know, it was they say when you suffer like that with someone, it bonds you to them, and that is so true. If you are really in love, I think that's true. Like there's nothing that can bond two people like suffering together. And then like 4 years in, we started having kids, and we ended up with three girls, and they're all 2 years apart. And it's just crazy how kids are like little mirrors of their parents, you know? And I can see a little bit of her in every single one of our kids, and it just made me love her even more, just to see like little versions of her running around that we created together and we're raising. It was great. And so we settled into life as a family, and it was good. But then, a little while later, it seemed like life kind of stagnated, you know? Like, things were okay, just okay. We knew something kind of needed to change. We didn't know what it was, but we felt like there's got to be some kind of change coming. So we were on the lookout for that. We'd stop dreaming, which that's never good. It's never good when you stop dreaming, especially when you're doing life with an amazing person, you know. So we were on the lookout for whatever this opportunity was that we just kind of had an idea. Something was coming. And then some friends of ours approached us about moving to Fort Wayne. And immediately I was on board. I was like, this is it. We're going to do this. And she was a little more skeptical. Let me just give you an idea of our dynamic. I've always been the optimist with like the 30,000 foot view, you know, head in the clouds. We can do anything we set our minds to. And it doesn't matter what obstacle stands in our way, we're going to make it through this. And she's always been the grounded one, you know, bringing me down a little bit, like, okay, but have you thought about the details of this? Like, what about this and this and this? And she's been the one who makes things actually happen, which I'm really thankful for, because you guys, my life would be a goddamn mess right now if it wasn't for this woman. But we talked about it and ran the numbers, and we decided, yes, this is what we're going to do. And we took a year to plan it because we didn't know anyone here. We didn't have jobs, you know. We didn't want to just jump in. We took a long time to plan it. And this August, it will be 7 years since we've lived in Fort Wayne. And I, for myself, I think she would agree, but I'm just going to say for myself that it has been the best 7 years of my life. This is a great town, you guys. Yeah. So it has been really good. The first few years were kind of hard. I had some real crappy jobs. One job I had, I got uncharacteristically depressed. Like, I told you I'm an optimist, but there were days when I did not get out of bed. I was just like, I don't know why the hell we moved here. I've ruined our lives. Like, I was borderline suicidal, and like she kept things going during that time and like helped me get up out of that. And then eventually I got a new job and life was good again. You know, we were starting to thrive. We bought our first house. And that is something we never thought we would do. We're millennials. Like, we never thought we'd buy a house. We'd just given up on that dream. But we did it. And the girls were thriving. They're doing really good in school. They've got great friends. We're all happy. We're in the best places, personally and emotionally, that we've ever been. We've both just, I think, come out of our shells, honestly, as people. And life is good. And then one night, we got the girls in bed. They were sleeping. Jenny was in the bathtub. And I was in the bathroom with her just playing my guitar. We weren't really talking or anything. I could feel her looking at me. So I stopped playing and I looked up. And when our eyes met, I think that was the first time that we both recognized and acknowledged that our relationship had run its course. That we'd both come together as far as we could together. We'd come as far as we could. But it didn't feel like failure. And it still doesn't. It's crazy. Because how could it be failure? It's an end for sure. But failure is not, like, divorce doesn't even feel like the right word. You know, we've come through so much together and helped each other become the people that we are. And we've raised these three beautiful girls who are on track to become like the most amazing adults. And yeah, like, I think the best way I can describe it to you is like this. It's like we're two best friends who grew up together, and then we got accepted to colleges in different towns. And we know that we could stay together, and things would be okay, they'd be fine. Or we could have the courage to let each other go and watch each other thrive in ways that we couldn't as a married couple. And I think one of my favorite things so far about this whole situation has been just like getting to root for her in ways that I couldn't as her husband. And yeah, these aren't the words that we used, I don't think. But I think this just perfectly characterizes the exchange that happened that night in the bathroom when our eyes met. It was just kind of like we were saying to each other, you know, this is so hard, and I don't know how to say this to you, but I think that we have places that we need to go and journeys we need to take that we can't go with each other. We can't take each other. We can't take each other. And if we stay together, we'll never get there. And that's hard and tragic and sad and all of that. But I think the honesty in it is beautiful and heart and life-giving, you know. They say that when you really love someone, you'll wake up every day and choose to love that person. And that's exactly what we've done. Thank you.